the Gospel of John. It's also the second chapter of Joel's book, Beyond Words and Thoughts. We're told that the mind of man can never know God. And if what Paul tells us is the truth, then we must see that the mind of every religion on the earth, which is the human mind, has no God. It cannot know God, and therefore it cannot have the ear of God. It cannot receive the word of God. It cannot be instructed by God. And so mortal man lives apart from God, even though he may be an individual who diligently studies the Bible. And when a man like John teaches us the mystery of the Word of God, when we ourselves stop at the level of trying to understand it with our human mind, we fall into the same prison as the religions of the world, who have studiously read and believe they are practicing the Bible. And then we become no more than the creature who, in spite of all our dedication and devotion to the Word, still live in the human mind. The other day I was invited and went to a little group that was playing a series of tapes. And they were called the Nine Faces of Christ. And the people there were very limited in numbers, very devoted to that particular message. They're what you'd call very good people. And what it amounted to was that the writer, who said he had spoken this out of inspiration, merely made Jesus a yogi traveling, and then after teaching a little yoga, he went through 3 years of his life practically in 1 hour. And the high point of it was that he pronounced somewhere in there that there is a divinity in man. And this makes people gasp and makes them feel very good to hear that. There's a divinity in man. And then after the tape, you listen to the people discussing among themselves certain aspects of their lives, and you discover that there wasn't a word on that tape that they really accepted. Because the next thing you know, you find one man talking about the black brotherhoods and how you've got to watch out for these underhand attacks on taking care of yourself through protective methods. Now, what's the point of listening then to learning that you are divine, and then in the next breath trying to figure out how to protect yourself against black brotherhoods? And so we're always caught in this trap of believing that we understand the message of Christ while we are denying it. When John gave the message some 1900 years ago, there isn't a religion on this earth that won't think that they understand John, but you won't find the spiritual power to back it up. John discovered the divinity in every man. And when you say, "I am that divinity," you're only halfway home until you have taken the other half, which is, "I am not this human being." If you've still got a human being left, to claim that divinity is merely a quotation. And so John was revealing that there is no human race. When you reveal the divinity of man, you're revealing there is no human race. And you'll notice how this class is thinned out already, because there aren't too many people interested in the study about the fact that there is no human race. We all have labored under the illusion that we can build a life in matter. We have heard that there is no life in matter, but we still want to build a life in matter anyway. We have heard that what we have called life is nothing but sensation in matter, which is not life at all. And we still are interested in sensation in matter. But if I am that divine self, the divine self doesn't live in matter. And there is no divine life in matter. And you cannot say that the divine life is housed in a material housing. It is not. And so we can't straddle the fence. We either are that divine self and not this human self, or the message of Jesus and John remains unknown to us, and the experience of God as a permanent dispensation is beyond the level of our awareness. Now, Joel gives us, in his chapter, many strange statements. He says, for example, I'm not a human being. He says, for example, that God cannot give this world peace. The world thinks God can. And religion teaches us that we have to be better human beings. And only rarely does an individual break through the crust of humanhood to discover that the human being he thought he was is completely a myth. And the sick human being he thought he was has no more existence than the healthy one. That word which was in the beginning is Christ. Now, if science had made a discovery that John made, you'd see it on the front pages of every newspaper. You'd see it on the front cover of every magazine, and television would give it many, many hours. Because John discovered that this world was not the beginning. In the beginning was not this world, but in the beginning was Christ. And so you see, John is revealing the spiritual reality that pre-existed our material concept of that reality. John is revealing that before you appeared on this earth in what you call a human form, you existed as the divine being. John is revealing that before time existed, only eternity was. John is revealing before there was anything on this earth called hate, only love existed. And John is revealing before there was a human lifespan, there was life eternal. But he goes a step further. He also reveals that that which existed before the world, before human beings, before physical nature, before matter, exists here today. That which pre-existed the world never stopped existing. And that all that can ever exist is that which comes forth as an expression of God. And so John reveals a new being, a new world, a new man, a new life, all of which is incomprehensible to the human mind, to the mortal being. In fact, Jesus himself was thought to be insane by many. Many had to leave him because his teaching was beyond their ken. And as Paul tells us, the things of God are foolishness to man. But so are the things of God real and enduring. And the man to whom they are foolishness has no real existence in himself. We come to the fact that when you try to build a life in matter, you are playing with toys, and you must eventually discover it. You cannot build a life in matter because God is not in material things. unless you're building a life in spirit, you must perish. For matter, being not spirit, must perish because it has no reality in itself. Now, as long as we continue to try to build a life in matter, John to us is still a mystery. The Proverbs tell us, even before John did, that I pre-existed this form. I was always in the Lord. Isaiah knew that existence had nothing to do with material being. And ultimately, there is a place in your consciousness where you know that unless you are spirit itself, you are not living. You are in a false existence, and it is useless, totally useless, in that false existence to seek the help of God. The help will never come. And that is why Joel says, God cannot give us peace. That is why Joel says, I am not a human being. You cannot get the help of God if you are living as a human being. And when you are not living as a human being, you do not have to seek the help of God. Because God is your being. Now let's look at John's words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And let's see that that Word is your infinite spiritual universe, which is the Christ. He's telling us that the beginning before the world was is the Christ. And he's revealing the universal nature of the Christ. There is no life except as Christ. Christ and life are one and the same. Christ is not mortal, Christ is not physical, and Christ is your life and must be accepted as your life, for any other life is not life but concept. And that concept life, not being the Word of God, has no law to support it and no fabric. Now we come to a very strange statement in John. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now whether you say God is the him referred to or the Word, all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made. There is a place here where you have to face the absolute. Without the Word was not anything made. It means nothing could be made unlike God. Anything that is made not of the Word has no existence. And if you take this statement to mean what John meant it to mean, you must then say, did God make an atom bomb? And when the answer comes, of course not, you must ask, was the atom bomb made out of the Word of God? Is it a creation that emanated from God? If you think so, you have a murderer instead of God. And if you think the atom bomb could not come out of God, then according to this statement, there is no such thing. It has no existence. It was not made by the Word. And only to the Christ mind will the atom bomb be revealed as a non-existent mirage. You say, well, suppose it bombs us out of this country. And you're calling God a liar when you say that, Because the word of John is the revealed word of God. The word of Christ Jesus was the revealed word of God. And John is revealing that there is a consciousness attainable in which you can say, I have overcome the atom bomb. I have overcome the world. I have overcome all that was not made of the word of God by knowing its non-existence and by living in that which I am, the Word, the Spirit, the Christ, independent of the material world. Now that is the consciousness that John advises us is the only way in which we can attain the awareness and the experience of life eternal. John found, to his great amazement, that his master in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and his master within, the Christ of God, were one and the same. John didn't need a second coming of Christ. He found they were one and the same. He discovered that Jesus was a mortal man who discovered that there is no mortal man, that immortality is the only nature of life. And that is why Paul later traced the genealogy of Jesus to David to show he was a mortal man who through rebirth, through overcoming the illusion of mortal birth, of mortal flesh, of mortal life, was able to make the revelation that Christ was the reality of his own self and of all men. And that there is no mortal existence on this earth. Wherever you're looking at non-existence. And beneath that non-existence is life, invisible to your gaze. Beneath that non-existence is Christ. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you're looking at what you cannot see, the Word, which is the invisible spirit of being. And you are doing what the world has done since man first walked the earth. You are converting that invisible spirit of your own being into a physical image in your mind and calling it your material self. That invisible spirit of you cannot go away. The Word which was in the beginning is still present. And the invisible self of you was discovered by John as he watched Jesus the Master overcome step by step the illusion of the flesh. This gradual progression of consciousness enabled him to come to a place which is a place that you and I are moving toward, in which the invisible man replaces the visible, in which the Christ replaces the mortal being, in which the Word of God, which is divine idea, is made flesh.
All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. All things were made by the expression of God. And therefore, who made evil? Who made imperfection? Not the Word of God, but all things were made by the Word of God. And whatever was not made by the Word of God was not made. Again, in our fidelity to Christ, which is the Word, accepting the presence here now of the Word, you can say that the Word of God is right here now where I am. In it is all that God is, and here now must be all that God is. Everything that denies the presence of God here now is sensation of matter, belief of mortal mind, denial of truth. And therefore my acceptance of anything not of God is my denial of truth. And I must take this entire material world, discovering that because God never created matter, if I wish to live as the Word made flesh, I can no longer fear, doubt, condemn, or find any place on earth where there is something that I consider real, for none of it was made by God. I must not find anything on this earth made by God and accept it as reality, or John has passed me by and I have missed his message. Now let us assume that the teaching of John about Jesus, that the Spirit of God indwelling you is you, and that God made nothing which is human, nothing temporary, nothing physical, nothing mortal. Now how can you build a life then in these human, temporary, physical, mortal things, if only the Word, the life of God, is reality? Where does it leave you? You simply know that you must find your invisible self. Because if you do not, you will continue in the illusion of trying to support that which God did not make. So let's find a way now to find our invisible self. There are many trapdoors in human consciousness that enable us to step out of it. And several of them are the knowledge that the mortal self, living in time, cannot be. For you know that this self of you will perish in time. And so you must find the you that is outside of time. And as you dwell with this, you will explode a myth. For actually, the real you could never be in time, and never was. You must take your form back before the beginning, because before this world was not your human form which came out from the womb, but rather the Word, the living, eternal Word of God. And so you take yourself out of the belief in form, into your real life, the life of you which pre-existed the experience of birth. Until you find the consciousness of that life which pre-existed your physical birth. And this is then accepted by you as the life of God. That which was before the world was. The life of God, your life. The one life that pre-existed all human birth. In the beginning, before the world was your life. This isn't something you memorize. Rather, it's something you practice. Until consciousness expands and takes root, and you feel something about life before birth as a living experience within you. And the life, being the life of God, is never separated from God. It is the Word, under divine law, unaffected by atom bombs or diseases, never less than the perfection of God, always present where you are as your very being. The beginning, you see, is now. It has never gone away. That life you were before the world was is the same eternal life that you are this very minute. So this becomes your faith in the Word, the life of God, revealed by John as the secret of Jesus. He had discovered that life, the life of God which existed before the world was his life. At that very moment, and would never stop being his life. And that was the way for all of us. That Word is the life and light of all men. All men. The life of you. And that Word in God, which God has always been, is now and will always be your true being. You see what John did? He established that there is one cause, and it is the Word of God. By the Word were all things created. And that which the Word did not create was not created. So we have one cause. That cause being in God, we have one perfect cause. One perfect life. That's the meaning of one power. No second causes, no second powers, no cause can ever change the perfect cause of the Word in you. That life is maintained immaculate by itself. Nothing can change it. And whatever denies this one perfect cause is a lie. Your life is the one power of God expressing. Now, because the Word is in God and with God, all that exists in reality is God's creation, perfect life. Nothing else exists except what is in God. Therefore, nothing exists except life. Only life can exist. There's no such thing as an opposite to life. There can be no death in God. So John is revealing that the only existence is that which is in God. So, where can you find death? Do you see the illusion of death revealed here? When you accept this truth in consciousness, you will not show forth the untruth, and then you will release the darkness. You will release the false sense of self that goes through the false experience called death, the false sense of self which allegedly dies. And this is the purification you stand in. You stand fast.
You see, these first 14 verses are a summary of the whole Gospel of John. They're a prologue. You know, when they were written, they weren't written the way you see them. They were written as a hymn. And there's a passage in Pliny, the Roman historian, back in about the year 100, which refers to this as the hymn of the Word, the hymn of the Logos. And the way it worked was, the early Christians used this hymn, and it was sung in a degree of rapture. It was what is called antiphonal. First, they would sing the first line, one individual, and then a chorus would come back with a second line. This was their hymn to the fact that all that exists is the life of God, the Word of God. And each was accepting that I am the living Word of God. And that's all I can ever be. And I'm not that which appears to mortal sense. For the Word of God, being spirit, spirit becomes spiritual flesh. The Word becomes spiritual flesh. The Word became Christ Jesus. And John had discovered that where the world saw mortal being, there wasn't any. Jesus had attained that level of the consciousness of being spiritual flesh. The Word was made spiritual flesh. John has shown us that spirit is the substance of the universe. And that word spirit, where the word Word is in your Gospel of John, has been hidden from the world. In the beginning was God, the Spirit of God. And that Spirit was in God and with God. And by Spirit was things made, and that which was not made by Spirit was not made. There is nothing but a spiritual universe. There's nothing but a spiritual human who appears as a human, but that man made of dust is a myth. The spirit stands where the human sense of life seems to be. And you can actually feel your spiritual self. First, you feel it on faith. You feel it because you follow the activity of Christ Jesus through John, watching how one who has accepted spiritual identity, one who has overcome the illusion of mortality, one who has passed the John the Baptist consciousness, one who has come through loyally and faithfully, living in the knowledge that because only God is here, everything unlike God is not here. And then builds that consciousness of grace, brick by brick, day by day, until there is no person there. There is only grace itself. truth itself. Incorporeality itself. And the Word is made flesh where you stand, just as where it was made flesh where Christ Jesus stood and John stood. Now John goes on to tell us that this light, which is the Word, is the light of all men. And we find that the idea of the second coming of Christ becomes obsolete right there. It's the very second coming of Christ that is impossible when you know that the Word is the Christ, and that the Word is always present where you are, as your very being. And the rebirth is the realization that where I stand is the invisible Christ, which is my name. The old man is the old consciousness, which thought you were this mortal being. The new man is the new consciousness, which knows you're not this mortal being. And all the ills of the flesh that were in the old consciousness are not in the new. For there are no ills of the flesh in Christ. In him was life, in the Word of God, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now then, the light of God, which is your being, is shining now. And if the mortal consciousness is unaware of it, then the darkness comprehends it not. The darkness is our material consciousness, which comprehends not the light of our own being. Now, are you beginning to separate very clearly Christ from Jesus? To see that the life of Jesus was the revelation that Christ is the life of all men. And let's get rid of this confining the word Christ now to Jesus, or interchanging it with Jesus, because that's the great error. Once we interchange Christ and Jesus as if they're one and the same, we attach Christ to Jesus. And we lose the Word of God, which is Christ. Let's rather see that just as Isaiah predicted that Christ would come into form as the wonderful child, the Prince of Peace, that same Christ is coming into form as the begotten of the Father, where you stand. We are told that he attained that status which is called the only begotten. You see how, unless you understand that, how misleading it can be. It has been accepted that Jesus was the only begotten. But the word only doesn't refer to the man Jesus. It means that the only begotten is the Christ, which is the Word of God. And he attained the status of the Christ, which is the only begotten. When you attain the status of Christ in your consciousness, you are the only begotten, because Christ is the only begotten. Each is to attain that status of Christhood, which is the only begotten, or the Word of God made flesh. And when each of us is the Word of God made flesh, we are all the Christ, or the only begotten. Any other you is unacceptable, for there is no other self. There is the one self of God, and John is also revealed here that God is not supreme, because God has nothing to be supreme over. God is the only. He has revealed that God and the Word of God are one, and that is one being, and all is made of the Word, and that is still one being. And one being is being its universal spiritual self. And that we are all that one being. And we must become aware that we are the only begotten, which is the one Son of God. Do you see now that you are never separated in your selfhood from God? You are the living Word of God now. And every moment that we deny this in any way, we are in sin. Every moment that we accept it, we are breaking karmic sin, karmic law. The minute you are accepted where you are the living Word of God, you must reject that which denies it. And when you do, you will find that the Word of God, which is the power, becomes living spiritual power right where you are. The Word of God, which is the light, which is the life, which contains all that the Father has, begins to flow as your soul faculties pour forth that which they receive from on high. Now, it makes no difference what status you appear to be in when you are willing to accept that your living appearance is not you, but the invisible Word of God is you, and all its qualities are you. You discover the meaning of omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience as living fact where you stand. Now, it's going to take 3 years for Jesus to demonstrate these 14 verses of John. And so he's prologuing them in this little hymn, this poetic hymn. And it's also interwoven with what was a separate introduction. The separate introduction was about John the Baptist. But in time, they became intermingled. So you have the poetry of the hymn to the Logos or the Word interwoven with another introduction, which is about John the Baptist, who represents the intermediary consciousness, the transitional consciousness between the human being on earth who is unillumined and the Christ consciousness which is illumined. John the Baptist has stepped out of the throng. Now let's see something about John the Baptist that's a little different than we may have thought of it. Let's see something about soul prophecy, how different it is than human prophecy. Here we have a John the Baptist who is a reincarnation of Elijah. But he's not at the same level of consciousness that Elijah was. To the world we have a man. But who is really there? If all that is there is the Word of God, isn't John the Baptist invisibly that living Spirit of God, which is showing forth what man must do? How else do you think John the Baptist would know that I must decrease and he will increase if the Spirit isn't making a great teaching to us? You see, it had to be the reincarnation of one who had attained in order to recognize that there will be a Christ consciousness on earth. An ordinary, unenlightened individual would never recognize that I am not he, but he who is coming is the Christ. It was an old witness in a new form. But who was the new Christ coming as Jesus Christ, if not the same I am, the same Spirit? And so you find that the Word of God is the self of John the Baptist, and it is also the Word, the self of Christ Jesus. We see them at different levels, but the one self is making the prophecy through both forms. And it is that very same self that through Isaiah had previously stated that there would be a birth to a virgin. The very self which speaks through Isaiah, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ is the one teacher in all cases. And so the soul prophecy is not done in time. The soul is knowing in itself in the now. And that which the soul knows in the now appears in the time as Isaiah, in the time as John the Baptist, in the time as Jesus Christ. But it's one now where the knowledge is. The knowing of it is in the now. And that is why a prophet can prophesy, because he lives in the now. And in the now, that which is the living Spirit of God knows all things, and then they appear in time. We are told to live in the now. And when you live in the Christ consciousness of yourself, you are in the now. And you witness sometimes the instantaneity of now doing its work. But always in the now, you are sowing the seeds for every harvest that will come. So that every tomorrow, which comes in time, is invested with the substance of that which you have found in the now of your consciousness. If you are going to try to find God tomorrow, you're wasting time. If you are going to find Christ tomorrow, you're wasting time. The Word of God is always now and here. And right where you stand is the Word of God now, and when you are capable and willing to stand in that acceptance of identity, renouncing all else, otherwise you're not accepting, you have touched the now in which prophecy is made, the now in which healing is made, the now in which you speak in tongues, the now in which the Word is made flesh, the now in which there is the power and the wisdom and the perfection of the Father. Only when you are in that self which is formless, incorporeal, non-mortal, non-physical, non-mental, only when you are in that self are you in the now of God. And only then are you in life. For now is life. Now is the Word. And you will never have it tomorrow unless you have it now. Then it will appear in its powers of perfection in your tomorrow. That's why the second coming of Christ is a great tragedy in the teaching of the churches. It is denying the presence of Christ now. We're waiting for what is here. And while we wait for what is here, we are denying the presence of the Word of God. We are denying the presence of the life of God right where we stand. And we are saying, I worship God, or I believe in God. And so you don't see the power of God on this earth. So you pray for peace and find war. You pray for abundance and find poverty. You pray for health and find a lack of it. Why? Because you don't pray for these things correctly. We never pray for these things. We accept identity now as the living Word of God, and our acceptance is the prayer. The acceptance of our reality is the rejection of our unreality. That which was not made by God, by the Word of God, has no existence in your consciousness, and then it can no longer externalize as an objective thing. It cannot show forth as your imperfect body. It cannot show forth as any form unlike God itself. And so we begin to work with John's revelation. All things were made by the Word of God, and without the Word nothing was made. And even though to the world is foolishness to say there is no atom bomb, be sure that you must reach the place where that is the truth to you. As long as there's an atom bomb to you, you are in the false identity, which lives in the world as a mortal being, made of the flesh, which is not the Word of God, and you are separated from your own being. Now, you're not going around and talk to people and say there's no atom bomb. Or 1 million people didn't die of this last year, and 1 million won't die of that next year. That's why it's a sacred, secret thing. That's why you can't talk about it. As a matter of fact, it's going to take quite a while before you can even believe it. And then finally, quite a while before you can accept what you're willing to believe, and then make it your own, so that truly in your consciousness, as in the Christ consciousness that dwelled in Jesus and Paul and John, there can be no evil. It has no existence. It was not created by the Word of God. And then you've seen through the illusion of the material world, the illusion of all matter. For matter is not of the Word of God. The Word that was made flesh was not made into material flesh. The divine is never matter. The divine walked as Christ Jesus, and it was not physical matter. That physical matter called Jesus, which the world saw, was its image in mind about that which stood there. And that is the truth about you here now. You will one day look out at this world, and it won't be just your form that will have no real existence in your consciousness. It will be every form. You will know that all form is the world illusion. You will know it because you will be looking through new eyes. When we are told that we are truly the Word of God made into light or spiritual flesh, we are being told to forsake our human nets, our human vision, our human hearing, our human sense capacities. We are told, why don't you open your new eyes? Why don't you hear with new ears? Why don't you hear infinitely and see infinitely? Why don't you see with faith? Why don't you hear with faith? Why don't you live with faith? The faith that you are what the Father says you are. And then you have different eyes, different ears. Instead of seeing false horizons, you accept limitless horizons. Instead of seeing the imperfections of the senses, you accept the invisible perfection that is always there. Your earliest five senses on the soul level are by faith. We are told in these words that all was made by the Word of God, to walk in the faith that the Word has made these things perfect as your Father. Some people say it's a lonely course. The womb is always lonely. There's only one there. You are born alone. It is a narrow path to be reborn of the Spirit, one at a time. And unless you go through the experience of being reborn in the womb of your spiritual self, you are not reborn. You must accept the loneliness of it. That's the only way you come to know yourself. The loneliness is part of the treatment of finding yourself. It is the narrow path. Now, it's good to clarify all this at the beginning of John, because when we begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to see how all of the things summed up in these 14 verses became his living way, and we'll understand him better. We'll know that Jesus isn't doing anything. We'll understand that he had already overcome the world of mortality and materiality, and that the living, invisible Christ is all that is there, showing us in visible ways that which it is ready to do when we are able to step aside through faith, through our new inner eyes, our new inner ears, through understanding, through fidelity, through love of God, through love of truth, to renounce all that is unlike the Father, knowing it isn't there, and to walk consciously in God, here and now, with that total confidence that because I walk in God, not as a mortal being, not as a material being, not as a physical being, not as a human being, but as the Word of God made spiritual flesh, because I feel my invisible self, because I accept it as myself, I walk in God under the law of God. And all that is unlike my spiritual self is but the mirage of the senses and is no part of my being. When you make your commitment to this, you are at least going through that acceptance of be ye perfect as your Father. And the Father which seeth in secret will come to you with open arms. You will have the help of angels. You will be lifted. You will be guided. And instead of that mind which receiveth not the things of God, you will discover the activity of the Christ mind in you, which does walk in the kingdom of God on earth. You will see what every religion has walked past, that the kingdom of heaven on earth is here and now, awaiting whoever will accept himself to be the living child of the living Word. There is no power needed. You relax, and grace reveals that the only power is the activity of God. Nothing else is present. Never was. Only the Word, the one divine being expressing all within itself as the perfect spiritual universe, is the perfect activity of God here and now, even manifesting as a spiritual activity in its own being. This is the Garden of Eden. This is the kingdom of heaven on earth. It is the only presence here now. That presence is your being. The more you're aware of it, the more you will go through the pang of rebirth, the exaltation of self. You're going through the womb of silence to the world. Out of my invisible self springs the appearance of a concept called a visible me. Before the visible me is my invisible self. Before Abraham was, I am. Before the foundations of the physical world, I am. Always, that which I am, I am. I can never be less than what I am. And my invisible self can never be seen by human eyes. It can only be felt and known in my soul. The soul is conscious of the things of God, whereas the human mind is not. On faith, I learn to live in my soul until the Word is made flesh, until the darkness is dissolved, until thou seest me, thou seest the invisible self, which is of the Father. We're breaking the mesmerism of the senses, which is the invitation to the flow of spirit, the real inner Messiah, the Redeemer. All that pours then is the Word expressing. And in time it appears as harmony, beauty, truth, perfection in all things. In spite of what may be in the world, it opens a pathway through the wilderness, through grace. We're going to pause for a little intermission and then be back in about 5 or 6 minutes.